Proclaim. Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Election or predestination is the article of the Christian faith that so many people just don't want to talk about. Why not? Well, for one, because it's so often riddled with confusion in the way people present it in the church today. Election, for example, is often confused with God's foreknowledge. Now, it's absolutely true that the Lord knows everything that is going to happen in advance. That's foreknowledge. This, however, does not mean that the Lord causes everything in advance. The Lord absolutely did not cause Adam and Eve, for example, to sin against Him. There are many things that the Lord does not cause simply because our Lord has nothing to do with the causation of that which is sinful or that which is evil. For example, on top of page 13 in our worship bulletins, we have listed James chapter 1, verse 13. Let's read that scripture together as the people of God. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and He Himself tempts no one. And since the Lord, dear Christian, cannot tempt anyone to sin, He most certainly does not cause anyone to sin. Again, knowing and causing are two different categories. For example, you know that the sun will rise tomorrow morning, most likely at least. However, this knowledge in no way, shape, or form causes the sun to rise tomorrow. Let's use another example of knowledge and causation, but this time instead we'll go backwards into time instead of forwards into time. You may know that our congregation, of course you do because you just heard about it this morning, had vacation Bible school this past week at Crystal Cove State Beach. If you didn't know it before, you know it now. But the fact that we know this in no way means that your current knowledge of last week's VBS caused last week's VBS. Some of you may even have forgotten about VBS this past week. How could you do that? But if you did, isn't it good to know that if you did, your forgetting didn't suddenly cause VBS not to occur? Election and foreknowledge, again, are two different things. Now, what's the big deal about keeping this straight? If we merge them, then we know we would, in effect, be saying this. Because God knows who is going to hell, that God causes those same people to go to hell. To be clear, to merge the two ideas, which are scripturally and even logically distinct, is to accuse God of electing people to be condemned. This, even Calvin said, was a terrible decree. You can say that again. I had a former parishioner who was once very active in attending Bible study. She'd go to church practically every Sunday, Bible study on Sundays practically every Sunday, and all of a sudden she just stopped going to Sunday morning Bible study. I reached out to her and I asked her why. I'd heard about her discipline and her example in the parish before I arrived as her new pastor, and I came to ask her why. She told me the last Bible study she attended, the Bible study topic was on election. And it scared her to death. And that was the last time she went to Sunday morning Bible study. Unfortunately, the pastor confused the teaching, as a result, frightened this member. But in our sin, we lean towards qualifying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That pastor wasn't the only one who made that mistake. And this manifests in ways in which we end up hurting ourselves. In our sin, which raises doubts about whether or not we're right with God or if God is for us, we can easily fill ourselves with doubts, fears, anxieties. In this way, we, for all intents and purposes, are attacking ourselves. We turn against ourselves. I've developed a growing understanding and concern about autoimmune diseases. They are diseases in which the body attacks itself. There are autoimmune diseases like multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, and many other serious conditions, including some that are close within my family, in my household, like celiac and Hashimoto's. In a fallen world, we attack ourselves. And one of the chief ways that we do this is to wonder in unbelief whether or not we are destined for the best, but destined for the worst. In this way, many people do not live in hope, but live in fear and live in dread. And it's no wonder why so many people run away from God. The situation is exacerbated as the new atheism not only rejects God, but is actively seeking to convert Christians to become atheists. That is, it's not at all unusual for someone to go through a genuine faith crisis, having doubts all on their own about their salvation, but then while being tempted to run away from the faith, at the same time be tempted externally of someone attacking them with a false worldview, finding them at a time when they're weak in their faith walk and tempting them to stray. Our children are actively going out into a world in which the world is actively trying to get them to lose their faith. This is why having Professor Mark Pearson here again today is so important. I hope you come to hear the evidence about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. When that attack happens, most vehemently, it happens during college. Between the ages of 18 and 25 is when a young person is trying to make their faith their own. Going through, what do I really believe? And it's often at that time, between 18 and 25, when they're going to be assailed and attacked by false views. This is one of the reasons, of course, why we should consider sending our children to Christian universities. And what's happening at Concordia University right now, we praise God for all the rich educational institutions that bless our families. Recently, we took our daughter to University of California, Riverside. We were very impressed with what they're offering at UC Riverside. But you should know, we should all talk about how blessed we are to have Concordia University, Irvine. There are phenomenal things going on there. Just phenomenal. Last week, I was kidding around that Professor Pearson's the only professor I look up to because he's so much taller. But as a matter of fact, we're blessed to have our pastor, Mueller, who is also the Dean of Christ College. And you want to talk about a superb theological faculty that has been assembled at Concordia University, Irvine. And I get to hang around with the synodical folks nowadays, and I hear them talking about what's happening at Concordia University, Irvine. We should all be serious about supporting this institution and think about sending our children there so they're kept strong in the Christian faith. But we need to understand that many atheists do not hold their position on account of philosophical arguments, though many do. Many of them, however, hold their position against God because they cannot live with the thought, no matter how erroneous it may be, that they must be condemned. That's their fear. So emotionally, they respond with this position, believing they have no hope. So why hope at all? Just deny God. This is something in our sinful nature that we all do. We play the avoidance game. Since I do not understand how to pray, then I will not pray. Since I feel that I cannot understand the scriptures, I won't read the Bible. Since I do not understand worship, I avoid church. Since I fear that God may elect me to condemnation and a curse because I do not understand election, I avoid God. This happens all the time. But this is not the will of the Lord for you, dear Christian. Take careful note. Ephesians 1:5. He predestined us. Who is St. Paul talking to? Or asked another way, to whom is St. Paul applying the doctrine of election and predestination? He is applying it to Christians, those who are baptized into the Lord Jesus. Election is not a doctrine for all humanity. It is a doctrine about believers, about Christians, about people who have been baptized, who have their sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Take a look at this next verse, Ephesians 1:11. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined. Who is St. Paul talking to? He's talking to Christians. Predestination election is a doctrine that belongs to the children of God, all of you. It is not a doctrine to be applied to all people so that we turn the doctrine into speculation or confusion. No. But in Romans 8:30, we know that those predestined are called. That word called takes us back to being called by the word of God that you hear going into your ears and your mind and your heart. Called by the Holy Spirit through the word proclaimed and through the word and the holy sacraments given to Christians. So why is this doctrine so important? Because the Lord wants you, dear Christian, not to doubt, but to know that His grace rests upon you. That's the loving Heavenly Father you have. He wants you to be confident in your salvation. How do you know? Well, consider that you are in the world. And this is the proper way of referring to the world. Again, we qualified it just a little while ago in terms of a message not for believers and unbelievers. However, now we're going to talk about being in the world. And this means that those of you who are listening to the Word of God, you know where to put yourself in this message. Are you in the world? Are you included in these words of God's promise to the world? Are you in the world? If you are, you have faith in Jesus Christ by the call and word of God, then God wants you to take great comfort. He's elected you to be His child. But first, be sure, have faith. Are you included? Listen. Page 18. Number one. Repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in His name to all nations. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. Behold the Lamb of God, just like our banner. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Jesus is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Are you included? Absolutely. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that He may have mercy on all. Not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. You're included. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing His riches on all who call on Him. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ is for all who believe. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him should have eternal life. That is, Jesus Christ is your book of life. Sometimes people anxiously wonder, am I going to be in God's book of life? They want to peer into the future, look into that book and ask, will my name be there? Look, Christian, Jesus is your book of life. Look to Him. See His hands. See His feet. See His blood. Look into these. Look at the bread and the holy sacrament. Peer into the chalice as you receive the blood of Jesus. It's for you. He's your book. In Him your name is written. For He died for you. And when you know that, when you know that He bore all of your sin and rose to defeat your death, then you know that in Him He has chosen you. And He says to you, as you trust in me, dear child, know that I've elected you to eternal life. I've elected you to never be taken from me. I've elected you to be strong and courageous, and know that in me you will always be my child. In Hebrews, he says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you, Hebrews 13. But our inner skeptic and doubter just keeps on doubting, doesn't it? What about Pharaoh? What about Judas? Well, let me nip that in the bud for you, Christian. God judged them. He didn't cause them to sin. He didn't predestine them to hell. But because repentance was the last thing on their mind, the Lord simply acknowledged and confirmed their unbelief. They were rejected because they refused faith, not because they were predestined to hell. But you were not brought to church this morning because you're refusing faith. Let me prove it. Let me ask you some questions. Do you believe that you are a sinner?
Yes.
Let me try that again. Do you believe that you are a sinner?
Yes.
Are you sorry for your sins?
Yes.
Do you also hope to be saved?
Yes.
And now please look at page 20 as we read this answer together after I ask the question. In whom then do you trust? In my dear Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, the sweet words of children of the living God, those whose names are written in the book of life, those for whom Christ died and rose, those who have been elected for eternal life. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. We stand to confess our